Hello, my name is Kevin Dunlap. Today is Saturday, October 11th, and I'm interviewing my mom, Regina Dunlap, a German immigrant, and we're interviewing in our home. Okay, so hello.
Hi, Kevin.
Okay, so where did you live in Germany?
Oh, I lived all over the place. I was born in Hannover, which is northwest. And then when I was two, my parents, because my father was military, we moved to Koblenz, which is further south. And it has all these nice castles. So I grew up with all the Rhine castles. And then we moved to Düsseldorf, where I did ended my elementary school years and then went on to high school, gymnasium. And then when I had my baccalaureate, I went to Bonn to study economics. And then I did not get along with statistics and math and thus switched my major and did theater science in Munich. I lived in Munich for 10 years. Studied and worked there, did my master's degree. And then I found a postgraduate education as PR person, and I went to Frankfurt. And from there, I had met your father in 86. I moved to Washington, D.C., finally, to America.
So wait, what year was it that you moved to Washington, D.C.?
I came over in the beginning of 1989, the historic year for Germany, which I did not think was really this important. I thought the Russians would, you know, fight back or do something. I did not believe that Germany would really have a chance to become reunited. But yeah, in the course of 89, it turned out that way.
So were you there for the fall of the wall?
I was already living in America. And your father had proposed to me, and I was happily married to him.
Cool. So how does your schooling in Germany compare to what you experienced through your children in the United States?
I would say very different. Elementary school is only 4 years in Germany. And of course, I mean, there is a historic difference. I don't know, but I think, you know, the elementary school day usually ends around lunchtime, so 12, 1. And children do not eat lunch at school. They go home in elementary school and then have the afternoon to do homework, play, etc., see friends. And in America, the school day in elementary school, I find, is almost too long. For children, they are very tired when they come home, and there is very little interaction possible outside the family, the house, unless, you know, you have kids in the neighborhood. And so in elementary school, in fourth grade, teachers write a recommendation for children whether they go on to gymnasium, which is like college preparatory school, or whether they go to so-called Realschule and learn a craft and do like an apprenticeship. And so when you go to gymnasium high school, there is a selective crowd there, and thus the curriculum is more demanding than what I have seen in high schools in the U.S. my sons, both of them, went into a science technology program. So that was a little bit more challenging than the average program. But still, I feel that in some subjects, time was wasted, and the consequences of that show up in college, where you have all these general ed courses, which are only necessary because the high schools in America, who are taking everybody, have a lower standard, lower level of education. So compared, I mean, both of my sons did college. I mean, Kevin is finishing it up. But when I went to university, I could start straight with a major that I wanted to pursue. So I didn't lose time there. On the other hand, back when I went to university, the study was very little regulated. Of course, I went into soft science after my failed attempt for economics. I did theater, science, politics, and English literature. And so that has the tendency for students to prolong their studies, which is furthermore made easier since you don't have a huge college tuition. Like, I mean, when I went to university, I just paid like social fees, which was like in today's money about, you know, $30. And now students pay a tenth of what students at, for example, University of Maryland pay per semester. So they pay like €700 instead of $11,000 per semester. And that makes it so that everybody who has the ability to go to college and get a degree has the ability to do so. It's heavily funded by the federal government.
So with your education, what occupation did you have in Germany? What occupations did you have in Germany?
Okay, so my very first job was, since I did theater science, I was a dramaturgist at the city theater of Regensburg, a small Bavarian Catholic capital, provincial capital in Bavaria. And I did not really like it. I felt confined. It was the switch from Munich, a huge several million inhabitant city, to a small city. And I felt all alone, and I felt that the working times at the theater, which were always in the weekends, always in the evenings, and the days doing research to about plays. It was a good job, but I didn't really want to go through with it. I had a boyfriend in Munich, and I mean, I felt that I could not really make it there. And then all the actors, they played the little kids, and I was in my 20s, and they, you know, came with all their problems. I felt just totally overwhelmed, and so I quit and then freelanced for papers and went into advertising. then got a job with Avon, the cosmetics company, and worked there as an editor for the advertising brochures. And yeah, I didn't really have any, I mean, I would have wanted to become texter and have glamorous meetings downtown, et cetera, et cetera. But I never got the chance. And so I quit there and started PR education, postgraduate education in Frankfurt with an American company who had an office in DC. And actually, I met your father when I was still working for Avon, and we met on a street festival as alternative to the Oktoberfest in the neighborhood. And we started carpooling, and then we developed a relationship. And so, yeah, I was eager to work with an American company to have the opportunity or create the opportunity to come to America, work in America. Yeah.
Okay. So what brought you to the United States then?
Love. Yeah. So, I mean, what it was, I knew your father for 3 years, and so we said I would like to live in America, and we kind of test out. I mean, we were not the youngest ones anymore. Your father is 9 years older than me. I was 30 when I met him. So we wanted to see if we could live together. And so I organized an internship with the Washington office of Phil and Knowlton, very glamorous in the in Georgetown at the Washington Harbor, right next to the Watergate building, etc., etc. And so I was living with your father for a couple of months, and then he proposed, yes, and I said yes. So that made me stay.
So what did your journey to the United States look like, though?
My journey, I flew with a plane.
Okay.
I mean, it back then, you know, the plane rides were much nicer. You could smoke, you could have unlimited beer, you were not squeezed like a herring in the seat. So it was kind of okay.
Okay. So how would you describe your relationship to America before you came?
It was rather negative. I had been to America in 1985 to visit my sister, who had moved to America, and she back then lived in Medford Lakes, New Jersey, a tiny, tiny, tiny little village. And so she had three little kids, and I babysat a little bit. And the rest of my time I spent in sightseeing Philadelphia. I took a long bus ride. It was an hour each way. And I had a map that pointed out exactly which districts I was safe in and what districts I could not set foot in. So I have been traveling a lot before, but I have never really been scared so much as I was there, because I said, you know, if I'm there, I'm going to be killed. There are guns there. You know, you don't know. Right. So, but yeah, I enjoyed being in Philadelphia. I'm a city kid. And so, yeah, that was okay. But I didn't like the lifestyle, kind of isolated. You had these pure living areas whenever you wanted to go grocery shopping, whenever you wanted to do something, you had to use the car. You could do nothing on foot. And even my sister, you know, in this tiny little village she lived in, she pointed out that there was like somebody suspected to be a murderer, and she didn't want her girls to come near his house and stuff. I mean, it was kind of an oppressive atmosphere. And then I didn't like, you know, I mean, I remember I took a photo of this Mexican restaurant, which said food factory. And I said, oh God, this is no culture. I mean, do I want, you know, a mass produced food? Do I want to sit in a factory and dine or eat? I don't like it so much. So yeah, it was not friendly. And I mean, had you asked me back then whether I wanted to live in America, I would have said no way.
What? So then why'd you end up living in D.C.?
Okay, so D.C. is a big city, a beautiful city. And before I came over in 89, I had visited your father for a week or two, and I did extensive sightseeing in D.C. Of course, I walked everything like a good German does. And if you are downtown, I mean, it's a couple of blocks, but it is walkable down there. And I went to the Supreme Court, the White House, the FBI, all the museums, the Smithsonian. I mean, yeah, I liked the city. And I mean, I also liked when I worked in Washington Harbor. It was, I mean, Georgetown had, you know, some students there and lots of young people, cafes. So it is a kind of European style. And Washington doesn't have all these skyscrapers as well. So, I liked it.
So what are some differences, though, between D.C. and your hometowns like Dusseldorf or Munich?
Yeah, the big difference is that you have this separation between living areas and amusement areas and shopping areas. And it's not, there is no connection in between. So, I mean, if you go downtown during work hours, the roads are pretty emptied of pedestrians. You see many people coming out around lunchtime to go in the nearby restaurants through to grab their lunch. People don't live there really. You have the office buildings. And then you have the people who work in these offices, but you do not have people who live there. So you do not see many kids there. You do not see many old people there. You see just the working age population rushing by because they're always in a hurry. They are much less in a hurry in Washington than New York, but still, compared to Germany, it's hurry. There is no real public transportation. You cannot live without a car close to D.C. We live 8 miles from D.C. I mean, okay, it takes me like 30 minutes walk to the metro, which is kind of new. I mean, it wasn't there when we moved in this area. If I go downtown to my dentist, it takes me an hour on the metro. And this is kind of frustrating. Everybody in the, I mean, nobody talks in the metro. They have the buttons in the ear and listen to music or have phone calls. They have a book in front of their nose or a newspaper in front of their nose. Everybody is isolated, kind of. That's what my impression is.
So how does the culture otherwise here differ from Germany?
What do we mean by culture? The museums in America, I think, are excellent. They are really, they make it easy and inviting to explore the exhibits for people of any age. I fondly remember taking my sons to all the museums downtown, and we always had a great time. That culture I like. I like that Americans are very polite. Like in Germany, in the trolley car, somebody can stand on your foot and smile in your face, not saying excuse me, whereas here people very quickly say excuse me, and they are very careful not to hurt you, to insult you, something like that. Culture. Yeah, music is good. American music is good. Michael Jackson, for instance, Bruce Springsteen. I mean, DC has great theaters, great art museums, paintings, great artists, photographers, Andy Warhol, the most prominent that comes to mind right now. Now, what concerns the culture of food, I am pretty disgusted, because I mean, Americans cannot use fork and knife, period. When you give them, equip them with those, they put the fork on one side and the knife on the other side and then switch it around, and then they don't use the knife, cut things with a fork, have one hand under the table, God knows what they do. Food culture, I mean, there are very good restaurants in DC. I mean, you have international cuisine, I mean, you have Greek cuisine, you have French, you have Irish, it's Indian, Chinese, Afghan, you name it. I mean, I guess these places are fine, and I mean, the eating manners are all right. But I mean, then America is the birthplace of fast food. So that is the side of food culture which I don't like. And also, all these ready prepared stuff, nothing is done from scratch. But that has to do with, Americans don't take time for things. They rush. They are always on the go, and the fast food industry, you know, just caters to that intent. Okay. That is all I want to say about culture at this point.
Okay. So what about German foods that you brought over from Germany and you make prepare here?
Okay. So in the beginning, in 85, I used to travel with Nutella and gummy bears for my nieces. Since Aldi had sprouted like a mushroom in this area and all over America, as I could find, I am able to buy those things there or in regular supermarkets. The bread is starting to improve slightly. I mean, food that I bring back from traveling to Germany is chocolate, mostly alcohol-filled candies, pralinen, bread. Certain kinds of mustards, Camembert brie. I mean the selection of cheeses is much bigger in Germany. I bring good wine. I bring Fanta. That is less sweet than here, and I bring Ü-Eier for Kevin. These are Kinder-Eier in Ireland. They are chocolate-filled, chocolate-covered eggs, the size of extra-large chicken eggs, and they have like a surprise inside. And since age 3, Kevin is an avid fan of those. What else? Yeah, meat I am not allowed to bring. I mean, once I tried to bring, smoked ham and salami. And I mean, the sausages in Germany are just so much better than here. But you are no longer allowed to import any meat products, even if it is for your own consumption. That's what I bring.
What about recipes that you were...
Yeah, of course. I bring all the recipes that that I grew up with, that my mother cooked, and some of which my boys like too. For instance, Hühnerfrikassee, which is chicken with a lemon sauce, carrots, celery, and leek. And it is eaten over rice. Königsberger Klopse, meatballs with capers and also a little bit lemon in the sauce. And you eat it with potatoes. We eat a lot of sauerkraut. Like tonight, we had Rostbratwürste, which I got at Aldi. And I bought a small can of sauerkraut for my husband and myself. And it said 14 portions, so each of us ate 7 portions for dinner.
So what are Rostbratwürste, for the people who don't understand?
Rostbratwürste are little sausages that you fry in the pan, and you have to turn them so they turn brown. I mean, they look white when they are before they are fried. I mean, the meat is cooked, so there is no contamination. But, they taste very good with mustard or applesauce. And it's a staple in German diet.
So, what do you miss about Germany? What do you miss most?
What do I miss? I miss certain foods, of course. The sausages, certain fish, Matjes, which is salted herring, young herring, and with onions. Oh, that's good. So food I miss. Then I miss the interaction with neighbors, with people. Like when I visit my 95-year-old mother in Düsseldorf, I go out. I can do grocery shopping on the street, and I meet neighbors. I talk to the people in the grocery store. She has a little market Wednesdays and Saturdays, and you chat with the farmers, and they consult you about what is good to buy and what you could cook with it. You you can use public transportation. That means you do not have to drive by car everywhere. You can walk, you can take public transportation. And yeah, my favorite occupation when I go to Germany on a visit is walk, walk, walk. Because different from America, I walk and I go past shops, I see people, I see mothers with kids, I see older people with walkers, I see school children, I see working people, and yeah, you see people, you walk past shops. So if I get thirsty on the way, for example, we can buy a cup of coffee, or I can buy, you know, a Fanta, you know, I can. There is a flower stand there, and so I can say, oh, I want to bring my mother some flowers. And so you get ideas as you walk around. Whereas here, I find the neighborhoods very sterile. Like when my boys were little, as a good German mother, I tried to walk them in their stroller around the block. But there was no soul. There were barking dogs behind the fences. But it turned out that neighbors who must have lurked behind curtains, they saw me. I mean, they knew me for some reason. But I mean, you do not see other mothers with kids, you know. Like in Germany, you would go to a playground and just hunker down there with your stroller and have to put the kids in a sandbox. And then, you know, they would just interact with other kids in the sandbox, and the mothers would interact, maybe, you know. Now things are changing as well, because the mothers are hooked on their cell phones and do not interact with others and their kids so much anymore, same as here.
So what about things that you like about America?
I like that America is fairly open and curious, and that Americans are very kid-friendly. I mean, Germany has this proverbial, you know, they have one or two kids at most, if at all. Whereas here in America, you have still big families with many kids, more than two. And the whole society is very open to young people. And I mean, I think, I mean, now I'm approaching 60, so I would say they are also open to, you know, people of my age, older people.
So what do you mean by curious, though?
They ask questions. I think they encourage the out-of-the-box thinking. I mean, at least that is my experience with the boys' elementary school, which is a tag school. And they really tried, you know, to unlock all sorts of intelligences, kinetic and aesthetic and social, verbal, logical, whatever.
Okay. So where else have you visited?
What do you mean, in America or other than America?
All around. What other places?
Oh. So you mean, okay. So, I mean, okay, I have traveled to Greece, to Italy, to Turkey, to Austria, to Netherlands, to Czechoslovakia, to Hungary, to Bulgaria, to Yugoslavia, Sicily, Sardinia, Spain, France, Iceland, Canada, Mexico. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Pretty big list. So, Tell me more about your experience transitioning to U.S. culture.
It wasn't easy. Since I had learned English at school and done English literature at university, I mean, I was kind of fluent with the language, but of course, I was still, you know, lacking certain words, or I translated, you know, straight from German into English, which came out queer at times. And I will never forget the expression. I mean, I was working at Hill & Knowlton back then, and so we went, yeah, we had a tour of the Washington Post for the interns, and so there was this young woman, she was going to law school. I mean, she worked at Hill & Knowlton as a secretary during the day and went to law school at night. So she had a suit, and I wanted to compliment her on how nicely she was dressed. And so I told her, you know, I like the costume you are wearing. She paled. And I mean, in German, suit is costume. So I straightly translated it. But of course, costume in America is like, you know, a Halloween costume. You look like a clown, you know, which of course wasn't what I wanted to say. But so these type of things. Then, yeah, the adjustment was that my commute, I didn't have a car in the beginning, so my commute per way was 2 hours. We lived close to Silver Spring back then, and so I had to go downtown DC. And so, yeah, and then, of course, working at Hill, I mean, you had to dress up. And so I took bus, metro, and transferred in metro, and then had a shuttle bus to Hill & Knowlton. So I was dressed up, you know, wearing a suit most of the time. And then I saw women. They were very elegantly, elaborately dressed, but they were having sneakers on their feet, and it looked so disgusting to me. And I said, no, I am not gonna do this. So, I mean, in my high heels, I stalked to the office. And but then later, they would switch shoes in the office. And I mean, I guess I only did that for a year, so that was okay. But I think over time, I would have adapted to that custom, because it doesn't make sense. It's expensive to have new heels on your shoes very often. Yeah, I mean, you know, I had to get my green card. I was pretty shocked that I had to do an AIDS test. It wasn't nice, but I mean, the green card went fine because I had to do that actually before we became married. That went fine, and then after we were married, I was out of a job, and so I went house hunting, and we found a nice house where I raised the boys, and we're still living here. And so it was time well spent. But yeah, my adjustment, it was the food that, you know, I went to the supermarket and I looked at the breads, and some breads looked very delicious. And then I put my finger in and they were soft. They were inedible. There were no real good alternatives out. So, I mean, I learned to toast everything I eat. It wasn't, and then, I mean, I was alone a lot. I mean, okay, so, I mean, I worked until 90 and then went house hunting. No, I worked to the end of 80. So I started in the beginning of 89 to the end of 80. So in 90, I didn't work anymore, so I went house hunting. And in 90, we then found the house, and then and it had to be renovated and furnished and stuff. And so since I didn't have a job, I did all the painting, the walls and closets and you name it. And so, yeah, and then in 91, Keith, my first son, was born. And so, yeah, then I reverted to being a mother. And I remember that, of course, I wanted to raise him bilingually, but it was also that, you know, certain expressions, they were not so familiar to me. And so I thought it safer to rather speak correct German to him than you know, Germanized English. So, I mean, I switched back and forth, of course, when Brett, Keith's father, my husband, came home, we would switch to English. But, I mean, when I was alone with Keith, I talked German to him all the time. And, yeah, Keith really, yeah, it was the mother tongue. And Keith felt very comfortable with German all his life. Like, when we went to Germany, I mean, we would just get out of the plane and he would start talking German. I mean, over the years, he got a little bit out of practice, but still, I mean, he loved German. He loved the sound of German. He listened with dedication to cassettes, Die drei Fragezeichen in German. He understood everything. And yeah, he just liked it.
What's Die drei Fragezeichen?
So this is a trio of friends, and they clear up mysteries. It's a little bit like Scooby-Doo, but the kids are older. They are teenagers, basically.
Oh, okay. So how are you perceived differently here than in Germany?
How am I perceived? Yeah, people mispronounce my name all the time to start with. I think that Americans consider me blunt. Because I am not really, as a German, into niceties. I mean, people in Germany, they freely speak their mind. They, not necessarily to hurt people, but to say the truth. And if they hurt people and it isn't intended, then they you know, and try to explain and clear it up. But I mean, they kind of talk what they think. Whereas in America, people wall and rather say nothing than you know, risk stepping on somebody's toes. How am I? Yeah, people put me in all sorts of countries, from Poland to Sweden to Netherlands, some German. But I think that, I mean, people respect me equally here as they do in Germany. And I mean, those who know me will probably be not totally injured by my hurt. And I mean, I kind of, you know, am very willing to say, you know, I didn't want to injure you, you know, I didn't want to hurt you, but it had to be said.
All right. Yeah, so did you know anyone living in America before you moved here?
Yeah, my sister, Medford Lakes, and then, of course, I knew my husband and his two daughters, Tanya and Corey.
Okay. So did you meet any new Germans after coming here?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I met some Germans, but more after I had kids. Like Beate, and her three kids. I mean, she came from Germany, and neighbors. You know, some people claimed like German origin, but they wouldn't speak German. So I mean, it wouldn't say directly German. No, not in the beginning. Not really. No.
So, do you still keep in contact with all of your German relatives and friends
from Germany? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my mother is 95 now. She can no longer fly to America. She has a pacemaker as well. And so I am visiting her once a year at least. And when I visit her, I see many of my friends or have more phone calls to them because there is not this time difference. I see my brother and his family. To family and close friends, I still have good contact throughout the years, yeah.
So would you consider yourself then a German?
Yeah, I would, yeah, because that is the country where I grew up, and so far I have spent 33 years in Germany and 26 years in America, so it is still that I have deeper and longer experiences with Germany. I did all my education there. I grew up there.
So would you also consider yourself to be an American, though?
Yes, I would too. I grew into this society through my sons.
Okay. So you recently just got your citizenship to America. So why did you take 26 years to get citizenship?
Yeah, because I never knew, I mean, whether I wanted to spend the rest of my life in Germany, in America, I mean. I was having in the back of my mind something like when my husband retires, that we would then live in Germany, because I find that it is easier being old in Germany, especially since you do not have to drive. I see it with my mother. She's 95. She still lives on her own. She uses public transportation. And despite the fact that she has a walker, but she says there are always people who help her in the trolley car. And so she can still live a fairly independent life, whereas this is a nightmare for me. Should there come a time when you cannot drive anymore, you're stuck. You're stuck. You can't go grocery shop. You can't do anything. Just stuck. And I do not fathom myself ever living in a retirement home. Not in Germany, not in America. So I don't know what happens then when I can't drive anymore. Now things have changed. My oldest son Keith died. His grave is close to our house, and he planted a lot of trees in this house. He grew up in this house, and this house is so full of memories of him and our happy days that I cannot leave here. And I applied for the American citizenship before Keith died. And the consideration there was, as I saw with my mother, at a certain age, it is, you cannot do transatlantic flights anymore. And having two sons, and hopefully grandchildren, one day, I always missed having my parents, the boys' grandparents, close. My mother would come every year or every other year to visit us here, and we would visit her in Germany, which was always a big excitement and very happy times. But yeah, I mean, having had my boys grow up without grandparents, I mean, the paternal grandparents, they died and they did not like children, so that relationship was highly problematic. So, my boys basically grew up without grandparents around. So, I think that is not good. And so, I mean, that was the reason to say, for the future, I do not want this big separation. We can go on vacation in Germany. We can swap houses with the relatives I have there. And so there are other ways to keep keep returning to Germany.
Okay. So how was it like without citizenship, without American citizenship, living in America?
I mean, it was fine, except that I was called to jury duty several times, and I would have really loved to do it, but I had to decline because I was non-citizen. Also, I would have loved to vote once the boys turned 18. Everybody was allowed to vote, only I had to stay home. That sucked. So I'm looking forward to voting in the next elections. So, and I mean, since I live here this long, I think it is time to make it official and avoid the rising fees of getting a green card, being harassed at entering the country. But, okay, so I have dual citizenship. I went through the effort to get permission to keep my German citizenship, which would have automatically been forfeited without.
Okay, so is there anything else you'd like to tell me before we finish?
I don't know. I talked a lot. I can say. A friend of mine attacked me that for the fact that I have criticisms about America. Now, to put things clear, I have criticisms about America, the fact that people are under constant surveillance, that I think the news are not always in depth. I mean, okay, there is a public news and BBC World News, and there are good, you know, dailies like the Washington Post, New York Times, that have a deep background reporting about what is going on. But I mean, the whole Snowden thing, I did not really like how that was handled. I do not like Guantanamo Bay and the torture. The sentencing system is not for rehabilitation. It is too harsh. I mean, the minimum sentencing requirement, I mean, which is being worked on. So these are some of the criticisms, but I mean, I think America is a great country and overall has, with the Constitution, the foundation and ability to be a truly democratic country. I also have criticisms about Germany, of course. I mean, we have a lot of ultra-conservative political forces there, and the Bundesverfassungsschutz. It's like the CI, not really NSA, comparable. They are blind on the right eye, but very, you know, look to the left and beat on the left wing people. I think that some experiences that I bring from Germany enable me and also give me the right to criticize things in America that I feel are not going right. The whole gun issue is so monstrous for me. I mean, I say, why not just abolish the Second Amendment? I mean, it was written at a time when America had 1,000 people in their militia and they needed people to have weapons in order to defend the borders of the country. Plus, I mean, America has the best, you know, the biggest and best equipped military defense in the world. Plus, I mean, the Constitution guarantees democratic ways for people to express their criticism, to work for changes in the system. Thus, guns are not necessary, period. Okay, yeah, that's I think all. Well,
thank you. It was a good interview. Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
No.